Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We have come now to one of the best known verses in all the Bible, namely Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose." And every Christian immediately recognizes this as a wonderful promise of God. All things work together for good. Now let's analyze this by asking three questions regarding the promise. Number one, who is doing the working? Number two, what events are included in the all things? And number three, what is the good that God has in view? So question number one, who is doing the working? And we know that all things work together for good. Who is doing the working? That's a very good question. And there are actually some manuscripts that insert the word God into this text, so that it comes something like this: in all things, God works for good. However, there are only a very few manuscripts that contain that, and there is very weak evidence for their authenticity. And that takes us into a field that I don't have time to go into now, but I want to mention once again that there are literally thousands of existing manuscripts of God's Word. Portions. Not all of them are entire Bibles. In fact, very few of them are. But portions of God's Word, literally thousands of them, hand-copied manuscripts that have been preserved or have been uncovered that date up until the time of the invention of the printing press. And after that, of course, then everything was standardized. So we've got virtually 1,400 years of manuscript copies, hand-copied manuscripts. And it's evident, if you study any of these manuscripts, it's evident that there are variations. But because there are so many of them, thousands of them, it's pretty easy to sort out where the copier has made a mistake. You just start comparing them. Now, it's more complex than simply weighing how many of are say this and how many say that, because they come from different centuries and from different locations, and so there are a lot of different things that are taken into account. But nevertheless, it's not all that difficult to sort back through them. It is a science. It takes a lot of work. But God, in His grace, has given us so many manuscripts that this can be done. And the result is that there is virtually no question about what the Bible really says, contrary to what some people are teaching, contrary to what a certain professor who's trying to make a name for himself, a professor here at one of the leading universities in North Carolina, who has written a book, and he touts this as one of the reasons why we can't be sure of anything, because the manuscripts don't all agree. That's true. But there is such an embarrassing riches of numbers of manuscripts that it's not like we're dependent upon three or four. There is more manuscript evidence. There are more existing manuscripts of the Bible than of any other ancient book. I don't hear people going around saying, I don't think we can know for sure what Aristotle really said. I don't think we can really know what who else? I'm scratching my head now for some of the ancient writers. What Pliny really said, I'm not so sure we can be certain what Josephus really said. I don't hear anybody questioning that. You might say, well, nobody claims inspiration for these other writers, so it's not as critical, and I would agree with that, it's not as critical, but the point is, we accept the manuscripts for these authors, even if there's only one or two of them. We assume that they are authentic. But when it comes to the Bible, it seems like we take the opposite view and want to be overly critical. And the fact is, there's far more evidence for the Bible and what it says than for any other manuscript of similar age. So, back to the question, who's doing the working? And we know that all things work together for good. Well, some understand this text to mean the Holy Spirit is doing the working, carried over from verses 27 and into verse 29, and that wouldn't be a bad thought. Verse 27, now he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So that would be one way to do it. But I think it is best, as the King James translators have done, to leave it as it is, with God as the understood but unstated subject. That's pretty clear. It's God. And the point is that God is at work. Is it God the Holy Spirit specifically? Well, we know that God the Holy Spirit is very much at work in our lives, but of course it's impossible to ultimately separate God the Spirit from God the Father and God the Son. So any way you look at it, it is God who is doing the working. So that's question number one. Who is at work? God is. The reason we know that all things work together for good is because God is doing it. God is at work. Question number two, what events are included? The text says all things. All things. So what does that mean? Is this a restricted use of the word all? Because sometimes all does not mean everything without exception. Again, I don't have time to document that, but there are many examples of that in the Bible, where all doesn't mean everything without exception. It means some other lesser group of all. So some have understood this to mean all infirmities, all trials, all difficulties, all weaknesses. And that certainly would seem to fit the context. Again, back to verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth in our weaknesses. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. We could dip back to verse 26 and pull forward that idea of our weaknesses and trials and include it here. And that's usually the things that we're most concerned about. And we know that all things work together for good. All of our trials, difficulties, weaknesses, infirmities, if we could know that all of these things were working together for good, that God himself was working these things together for our good, then we would be greatly encouraged. But I think we need to recognize that all here does mean all, without exception, all things whatsoever, all events of life. And the reason for that is because of who God is. God is a sovereign God who controls all events. Therefore, it's obvious he controls all the events of my life, all the events of your life, all the events of every believer's life. He controls all the events, and in the case of believers, he guarantees that his control of all events will eventuate in our good. For unbelievers, that can't be said. It can be said and must be said that God controls the events of their lives, but he's not working everything for their good. But for those who love the Lord, as we shall see in a moment when we get to that part of the verse, it is true that all things, all prosperity, all poverty, all joy, all sorrow, all good, all evil, not one detail of our lives works ultimately for evil or for bad to the people of God. What about sin? Yes, even sin. Remember what Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, to his brothers, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." When Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, were they doing a good act or a sinful act, an evil act? That was sinful. That was evil. But guess what? God worked it for good, for Joseph's good, for his brother's good, for his family's good, for the nation of Israel's good. And in the life of Joseph and his brothers, it was abundantly clear that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good, even my sins. Now that is not an excuse to sin nor an encouragement to sin. But it is a wonderful encouragement to know that God can even take, and does even take, my sins and work them for my good. The sins that I commit are worked in my heart for good for many things. They humble me. The Holy Spirit shows me my sin and it humbles me. They drive me to my knees in prayer. They cause me to be more vigilant and more dependent upon Christ. And there are many good things that God does in my life, even with my sins, far more than I could possibly list or could possibly even know in every case. So what events are included? All things. Who's doing the work? God is. What is the good that is in view? And the good that is in view must be understood as our final good, our true good, not necessarily what we think is immediately good. This verse does not say, and we know, that all things work together for what we believe to be good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. No, the same God who is doing the work is the one who defines the good. And you can be sure that someday we will see it like He sees it. We will agree with Him. There's no question that the time will come when our conception of what is good and God's conception of what is good are going to be exactly one and the same. But that may not be now. And so it's not saying that all things are going to work immediately for our comfort or for our pleasure, but it is saying that all things are working together for our ultimate good. Because many things are good in that they refine our faith and strengthen our hope, even though they're very difficult at the time. It is obvious, is it not, that afflictions are profitable, and God changes the natural tendency of afflictions which would tend toward our harm, and He makes them to work for our good. Isn't that great? It is true. It is wonderful. And that's why this is such a precious promise for the people of God. And that's why we need to strengthen our trust in God. Why? Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God is at work. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is wise. God is love. God is gracious. God is more concerned about the welfare of His children than we are, even about our own welfare. God understands what is good for us in a way that we could not possibly, and therefore we can and must and should trust Him that everything that He brings into our lives, everything that He allows into our lives, if you'd rather put it that way, everything that He sends into our lives, which is just another way of saying the same thing, we can be absolutely certain that it is for our good. Why? Because all things work together for good to the people of God. And that's a promise that I can pillow my head on tonight and rest in sleep, knowing that whatever comes into my life, it is for my good. My Heavenly Father has ordained it so. He has promised it so. He has guaranteed it so. And therefore, I accept that it is so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.